Come tonight to the 15th chapter of Mark's Gospel. And I want to read the first 15 verses of the 15th chapter. As Jesus comes to face Pilate, hear now the word of the Lord. Right away in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus, led him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he was accustomed to releasing the one prisoner to them whomsoever they requested. And there was an unnamed Barabbas who was chained with his fellow insurrectionist who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him because of envy. But the chief priest stirred up the multitude so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. And Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they cried out more exceedingly, "Crucify him." Then Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them. And he delivered Jesus after he scourged him to be crucified. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as we saw early on, the Jews had condemned Jesus to death because of what they called blasphemy. But they did not have the authority at that time to put anyone to death. This was to be done only by the Roman government. So it was that after they had condemned Jesus, the next morning they led him to Pilate. But it's quite interesting that when they brought Jesus before Pilate, they did not accuse him of blasphemy at all. Pilate would have nothing to do with such a charge, and they knew that. So it was they charged Jesus with perverting the people, forbidding them to give tribute to Caesar, and of calling himself a king. You see that more clearly in Luke 23, 1 and 2. Pilate didn't take the Jews, Jesus, nor the trial very seriously. He did not believe the charges of the chief priest against Jesus, and thus did not go into them deeply. This was just another fairly common type of disturbance that was nothing to get stirred up about. The big concern he had was to get this whole thing over with as soon as possible. He did not believe Jesus was guilty. He surely had no appearance of being a king. Pilate was convinced of Jesus' innocence. If he could conveniently do so, he would let him go. And he tried to do this. We see it several times. Verse 9, he said, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" In verse 12, he said, "What shall I do with the man whom you call the king of the Jews?" Verse 14, he asks, "What evil has he done?" In parallel passages in Matthew and Luke, we find Luke 23:4 says, "I find no crime in this man." As Pilate says, "I find no crime in him." Luke 23:22, he said, "I found in him no crime deserving death." Matthew 27:14, "I did not find this man guilty of any of his charges against him." Again and again, Pilate said, "I don't see any crime in him, nothing worthy of death." Pilate also knew the motives of the priest. Mark records it there in the 15th chapter in the 10th verse. Matthew has it in verse 27, chapter 18. He knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered Jesus up. The priest, the leaders, were envious of Jesus and their claim that he was getting the crowds that were following him, and out of envy, they delivered him up. Pilate's general disposition was toward justice. He knew what was right. And he really wanted to do the right if it was convenient. But Pilate's main concern was to get this thing settled, to get the matter ended, to get it over with. The fate of Jesus, whom he wanted to release, was of really no big concern to him. Get the matter settled. Get it over with. If the only way to settle the matter was through the death of Jesus, so be it. No big deal. Just another troublesome Jew. What should Pilate do? It seems so clear to me that Pilate knew Jesus was innocent of the charges brought against him. He said it again and again. As we've seen, he also knew the motives of those who brought Jesus to him. He knew it was out of envy that they brought him to Pilate. Pilate seemed to really want to let Jesus go. He could have. He was the governor. He was the highest local Roman authority. With a word, he could have dismissed all the charges and let Jesus go. He had that authority. But what did he do? Instead of acting quickly and decisively, Pilate, in effect, took a public opinion poll. The decision was his to make, but before he would decide, Pilate had to know what the popular opinion was. What did the people want? And on this occasion, it's obvious that he was more interested in pleasing the people than he was in doing what was right. So it was he asked, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Instead of being a strong leader, instead of speaking with strong voice, he became a pawn in the hands of the chief priest and the scribes and the Pharisees and yes, of the crowd. And he became an echo of their desire. How tragic when the question, what is the right thing to do, is replaced with what will please the greatest number of people. What a tragedy when the question, what is the right thing to do, is replaced with what will replace the greatest number of people. The politicians want to know what will please the greatest number of people. Church officials sometimes want to know, how will this go with the congregation? How will the people respond to this? What will please the greatest number of people? Sometimes we hear the voice of our neighbor more clearly than we hear the voice of God. How tragic when we are more interested in what people are saying or thinking than we are in what God has said is right and what we should do. Well, what happened? The chief priest stirred up the crowd to ask that Barabbas be released and Jesus be crucified. And now Pilate asked, as we have seen, what evil Jesus had done and what he should do with him. And the people crowded all the more, crucify him, crucify him. And Luke 23:23, we read, and their voices prevailed. Their voices prevailed. In Mark 15:15, so Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, wishing to please the crowd, delivered Jesus to be crucified. And this is not government by law. This is government by shouting. If there had been fewer people present, if they had not shouted so loudly, if some had shouted one thing and some another, then Pilate would probably have acted quite differently. Rue quite differently. No matter what is right or wrong, no matter what the law says, no matter what God's will might happen to be, Pilate wanted to please the crowd more than anything else. And their voices prevail. Now what does this say to us? I don't know about you, but it seems to me as I consider our government today, too many of our political leaders operate just as Pilate did, only interested in maintaining their position by pleasing the crowd. Or they may promise many things as they are seeking to be elected. They may express deep convictions of what is right and wrong. They may take an oath to uphold the law. But too oftentimes, instead of listening to their own consciences or to the voice of God, or even to what the law says, they listen to the voice that shouts the loudest. If you want a law passed today, how do you go about getting it done? Do you appeal to your lawmakers with reason and an appeal to what is right and best for the society as a whole? Or do you mount a campaign and send in petitions with thousands of signatures and march on the Capitol and wave signs and shout your desires, or get on the internet and bombard them until their systems jam with all the cries that you make for your will to be done? The appeals that I hear most often are, we must let our voices be heard. The ones that shout the loudest, the ones that get the most marches, the most signatures, are the ones that are most likely to prevail. Do you hear an echo and their voices prevail? And wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate delivered up Jesus to be crucified. But before we get too hard on our political leaders, perhaps we should consider our own actions as individuals and as a church. Do we as a church always take the stand for God that we should? Do we search the Word and always seek to do the best of our ability what we truly believe is God's revealed will for us as a church? Are we listening as carefully to the voice of God as we are to the voice of the community? Well, maybe we can't speak too effectively for the politician or for the church, but how well are we doing in our individual lives? Does the voice of God sound as loud in our ears as the voice of the crowd, of our neighbors? Do we, like Pilate, not take seriously the claims of God upon our lives? When controversy comes, do we take a stand for what we know is right? Or do we listen to the shouts of the majority or seek the way that will be pleasing to the most people? Do we seek to live on a high moral and spiritual plane where we do God's will? Or are we content to sink to the level of the lowest common denominator of mass opinion? All parents have heard their children cry out, whether it's about their clothes or their habits or the conduct or the hours to be home, but everyone else is doing that. And we have the responses that we make. You could almost excuse a child. They're surrounded by peer pressure, but what excuse do we as adults have if we listen to the crowd and set our mode of conduct and style of living by what everyone else does, rather than doing what we truly believe is God's will for our lives, even though it might be contrary to what the crowd says? Pilate has been remembered because he did not have the courage to do what he knew was right. How will we be remembered? May God give us the courage, the faith, the confidence in Jesus to listen more carefully to the voice of God than we do to the voice of the crowd and go forth to do God's will. Amen and amen. Father, it's so easy to get caught up in just doing nothing rather than to offend someone. Doing nothing, saying nothing when the crowd is going another way and we know what we ought to be doing. Give us the grace, the courage, the strength that we need for each day to do your will. And we pray in Jesus' name.